Welcome to Cosmic Aspirations Podcast, created by the cosmos, narrated by Feva Cristina.
Hello!
Exploring the universe in and of us through a cosmic storytelling of astrology, I want to welcome you to this cheeky journey of sensual shadow play as we claim our liberated authentic expression through expanded pleasure and playful embodiment as a new default for living and loving. Hello, cosmic lovers. And it's so good to be back here with you. This is the last part of the ongoing series of my 2023 apocalypse. We've been going through the months and the juiciest, deepest, most ground-shaking initiations that I have received in this last cycle. And now we're moving into the last few months of 2023. Now, we are already well in the 2024 energy, which feels very different. But, you know, when you're a cosmic witch, you kind of live in between dimensions anyway, and so time becomes less relevant. Akashic records teach us that. And besides, I mean, most of the humanity is still processing 2020 anyway. But as much as I can sometimes be guilty in a cheeky way for reminiscing on the past, maybe a bit too much than I sometimes should have. It's my Scorpio energy. I also do it because I feel so much value in that. Like, to be able to properly close certain cycles, which is such an integral part of embarking on a new journey, right? Like, you gotta check the bills. You gotta put things into their own shelves, safely integrated, tucked away. Also, when you need them, you can know where and how to revisit them. But I find so much value in finding this wisdom of the past, because what my life, as well as the systems that I use, have taught me is that everything is cyclical. Everything is cyclical. That's the one. Everything runs in patterns, and most of the patterns are constantly repeating. And so we better integrate that shit. Otherwise, it continues to fucking loop. And yeah, I've been running quite a few loops. So what I want to take you into today is from the end of September, when I left Sweden with a really powerful breathwork with blue lotus tea ceremony that took me into the ancient temples of Isis in Egypt and initiated me into the new levels of my devotion and my connection to the supreme goddess that is Isis in Egyptian tantra, in Egyptian shamanism, that I feel very much connected to. Isis, the goddess of the waters, the goddess of life, the ascended feminine master of the Sophia code that I'm also reading right now and connecting with her further. It's been such an important force in my life in the last few years, and I'm continuously humbled to the core of my heart by her wisdom and her miraculous ways. Like, truly, there's no other word that I could use than blissful and miraculous. Okay, I use a new word. Probably I could come with a lot of more, like magnificent and orgasmic and fucking mystical. So yeah, that journey, that plant medicine journey with Blue Lotus that I very much feel like is coming strongly into my tea practice as well, representing this flower of life, the plant medicine that Egyptians used in their ancient rituals, because it was connecting the human, the humanity, with the divine, divinity. It is that communication channel, the sensual receivership of this divine, sacred wisdom that is available to us now here. And what a powerful powerful potion it is. I don't know, like, I don't really feel like going too much into the details of that ceremony because it feels very sacred. But it's kind of what I believe initiated what continued to unravel in the months that followed. With this connection with the Divine Mother, the goddess known of many names, the Supreme One being Isis, the ancient name that her frequency holds is Oset. It sent me back to my homeland, to my ancestry land. I mean, Egyptians had very much this connection to the ancestors and the ancient wisdom and the importance of honoring that. And I have to say, it's not easy for me to go back home. I never really felt a sense of belonging in my home country of Slovenia. There are many layers to that, some that I believe are still unknown to me and will continue to unravel. But I teased you throughout this series, if you paid attention, that in the summer when I was in the community in Sweden, I did the course of family constellation. Family constellation is very much a shamanic practice, a very, in a way, almost theatrical, but far from theatrical. There is no acting. There is opening up your vessel, your body, your consciousness to the energy flow of the collective stories, stories of another person, inviting their imprints to flow through you and enact a situation that this person that is at the root of this person's struggles. So family constellation looks at how we are carrying the energies of our lineage, of the generations, of the collective events. It is very much that reminder that we are all interconnected. We all share similar human related stories that are manifesting in certain unique, specific ways to our lineage. And that we are not an island, but in fact, we are a net of islands interconnected and dependent on one another. I don't know if I'm fully presenting this right. I should have prepared for this speech. I didn't. So it's more of like my experience of family constellation. So it's a very much a group immersion where you can come with a facilitator, express your struggle, what you're going through, the patterns, the cycles that you keep kind of getting stuck on that are burdening you. And the reason is always in your family unit. Mother is always the one to blame. I mean, I'm kind of serious. Like it, all of the struggles always come back to the mother. And that is not to blame our mothers. That is just to actually highlight the significance that the feminine, the divine mother archetype, the mother archetype in general really holds this birthing portal and how much of the birth trauma defines us in our later life, how much of the relationship with our primary take givers, give, take the carers. Blah, blah, blah. I'm losing the word. Parents or other people that took care of us, the biological parents versus the adopted parents, you know, like how the family system really influences our life. And I mean, this is nothing new, right? We know that. But there's another energetic shamanic layer that is presented when you come to the family constellation, which sh truly showcased how much of the epigenetics we are living out in our lives, how much of our struggles is so ancient and generational, ancestral, that we're not even aware of. I'm going to say, most of it has root in that. It's been a rare, very, very powerful experience. And I don't have my journal with me right now to be able to look at everything that came through because it was so big. It was like, bleh, a life-changing thing, I would say, that kind of continues to massage me. But then going to my hometown to live with my mom in her house on in the property where my grandpa was born really brought up a lot of that, a lot of the new healing cycles. Yeah, and it's not so easy to talk about this. I feel a little bit of the resistance, like this heaviness still lingering in my chest. But I'm also redefining what this heaviness means, because it's not always the heaviness of a burden. Sometimes this heaviness is the heaviness of the enormous love that we carry, of the enormous potential that is there, the enormous power that lives inside of us. And that's been a shift that happened through the family constellation. I've always felt this burden. I mean, strong Scorpio, if you look at my gene keys, my astrology, there's so much of this ancestral karma that is poking out through all of it. And so I often felt very burdened by my family system, my family stories, history, and so on. And in a way, I've been running away from it. I've been moving, I've been nomadic for the last 10 years, basically. Even throughout my studies, I constantly traveled. I lived, wow, and I don't even know how many countries in the last 10 years, like many. I have not spent that much time at home, because the triggers are just so strong, and I'm sure a lot of us have a similar experience. And I personally believe it is because a lot of the things are rooted there, and not only in our childhood, where a lot of us didn't feel seen and loved in the way that we needed that, deserved that. I mean, did we deserve it? Of course we deserved it. And at the same time, I'm a bit edgy and potentially controversial here, because it's like, well, I do believe that we got exactly the kind of family and the circumstances that we needed for the soul lessons that we came here to experience in this round of incarnation, which doesn't make it necessarily much easier. They say in family constellation that countries are mothers. And it makes sense based on my relationship with my mother that I don't feel so comfortable in my country. And I believe we are so triggered by our families because there is so much love and such deep connection there that it feels even more dangerous. Our core sense of safety, the imprint of our survival mechanism, was built here. And what this month at home has showed me was all of the ways where I still wasn't free. The mother Isis was showing me where I'm still enmeshed with my mother and my father in some way, but especially with my mother, that childlike behavior where I feel like I need to save her. If she's not okay, then I'm not okay. So I need her to be okay so that me as a child can be okay. Because if my mother wasn't okay when I was a kid, that literally meant that my chances of survival were lower if she wouldn't be able to take care of me. Yeah, this enmeshment of trying to control her, trying to save her. So many of us awakened children. And I mean, it's true. Our generation had many more resources and much more freedom to unlock these new levels of awareness than our parents did. It's a different generation. And so there is absolutely no blame. There's a lot of compassion, and also still frustration arises, right? But I noticed how often I am mothering my mother and how much that is suffocating me, projecting onto her that she's not okay based on my opinion and my judgment and my level of awareness, where I'm not respecting her free will and her unique path. And what I learned through the family constellation, like this urge in us that we want to help our parents, is actually us not respecting our parents. If we're trying to help them, then we're already projecting that they need help, that they are helpless. And so we're making ourselves bigger, superior, which is really harming our relationship to our parents. And I noticed how I was constantly lecturing my mother, and that was bringing me so much contraction and anger and frustration. Because in our connection to our parents, we're always going to be children in some ways. Of course, our nature of dynamic, like our dynamics change, but that core essence stays the same. And oftentimes I felt guilty for everything that my parents have done for me, especially my mother, her sacrifice. And she used to put it out there all the time, this guilt tripping of but look what I have sacrificed for you. It's like, yeah, but that was your choice. Do not make me feel guilty. No one asked you to. That was your free will. And so detaching from that, releasing that guilt, that is driving of how I think I need to show up, realizing that I am also now an adult, even though I'll always be a child in our dynamic, or like always be her daughter. But what we often get stuck on is feeling like we didn't get enough from our parents, right? Our needs often weren't met. And I'm going to say that's the case for everyone. But then bringing that sense of understanding that I got exactly what I needed for what I needed to learn. There was absolutely nothing wrong. That doesn't say that it was absolutely right. Maybe wrong and right is not even the right expression, but rooting into that knowing is that I got enough. She birthed me, I survived, and that's it. And now I'm adult, and I don't have to continuously look back and try to drag along all of this baggage, all of this burden. I get to thank her and bring love into the space and forgiveness. And if I cannot find love, forgiveness, and understanding, then I get to forgive myself for not forgiving her and finding acceptance in that. It's not forcing ourselves to feel about this in another way if we're not there, if we're not able to. But can you be with what is? And at the same time, with this release comes also taking my energy out. All of the ways I've been noticing that I'm approaching my business and my relationships is me jumping into the energy of my mother because I see her suffering, or I personally see her suffering, right? That's my eyes, my projection, my point of view. And then I'm trying to save her by taking on her burdens and living them out for myself. And this is what Family Constellation Course really showed us, how children take on the burdens of the family, of the unresolved issues, and try to carry them themselves because they love their family so much, because they love their family members. But is that truly an expression of love? What if we loved our parents so much that we released the burden that we're caring for them, that we love them so much that we're like, I'm not willing to carry this for you because this is not good for any of us. The breaking of a cycle doesn't always mean you resolving the issue. Sometimes it means you letting it fall away and not continue. And I believe this is what so many of us are doing. Now, sometimes in these family situations, we get entangled in like, oh, I have the awareness of what's happening. I see everything and I'm still doing it. I'm not able to do it any different way. And that's usually because there might be a part of us that doesn't want to grow up. I definitely encountered parts of that where I still want to be a kid that wants to feel seen and loved and taken care of by my parents. And so I'm taking on certain characteristics, doing certain patterns, running certain stories in my life, putting myself into crisis situations, keeping myself broke at times, taking big financial risks that then leave me feeling unsafe. Even getting sick in foreign countries so that I can then cry to my mom and like ask for help and be taken care of and be shown that I am loved. But that's an unconscious way of seeking love that is actually harming me, that is not allowing the fullest expression of love to be there, that is not rooted in that knowing that I am loved and taken care of no matter what, that I've got myself, that life has got me, that spirit has got me. And it is not my parents' responsibility to do that for me anymore. That I get to connect with them in other ways that are not connected to my sense of survival. And that was a hard one to swallow. It's not a comfortable pattern to be with. You know, especially when you see everything that's happening, but you're not able to change the behavior. Because once that trigger is there, you go back to the level of the kid. Sometimes these patterns are so deep, right, that we're not able to shift it. And so what do? We become spacious and compassionate. I don't know any other way. We offer the situation to the bigger cycles of life, to God, to Isis. I started praying in the last few months because I was brought to my knees so deep that there was nothing else but to open myself up for God to fill me, to empty myself fully. And sometimes the emptying process comes with expression too. And then seeing it in the light of compassion and love and forgiveness and offering it to life to be purified so that more love can flow into this wounding crevices, these holes in our heart where we feel unworthy and unlovable, where we don't need to run these self-sabotaging patterns anymore just to feel a sense of belonging to the dysfunctional family, right? That's what I caught myself doing in this last year, of repeating the patterns of my father because I don't have a great connection with him. And so I was unconsciously trying to have a connection with him by being more like him in ways that are not supporting me, the ways that are not authentic to my nature. Seeing all of the ways in which I was acting superior to my parents because I was trying to have a sense of control and safety for myself. And so if I make myself bigger, if I make myself better, then I can feel safer when they are unsafe for me, for example. Such interesting freaking patterns. And they usually come in a packet, right? When one thing is going down, a lot of other things are going down. And so while I was at home after the summer in Sweden, I had no idea where else to go. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where my home would be, but I knew that my home home that where I was born is not that. And it's a unrooting feeling to know that you don't have a home. You don't know where that is. And it's been a big, big chapter of my life, actually. This discovery of what home truly means, and it keeps evolving, and layers keep peeling off. And I believe it's a continuous process. I mean, I did realize that my home is Earth as well as the whole of the universe, that my home is through the portal of the heart into my limitless essence. But sometimes, when the human is so deeply shaken to the core of its nervous system falling apart, and that sense of safety has been cracked, a connection to the spirit, to these bigger cycles, has been my saving force for sure. And we also need to act on the level of the body. You know, that quote that they say, everything you need is inside of you. Like, yes. And on this physical plane, in this physical reality that is very much real to the illusion that we're living, the external is also important. We cannot pretend like we don't need food or water. I mean, unless you're doing a high yogi practices, then maybe. But for a human being trying to function in this society, you need connection. You need a sense of safety. I've been living this nomadic life of living out of one suitcase for years now. I have no personal belongings, basically, when I travel. I have been in situations almost monthly. I'm going to say almost like 90% of the time, monthly basis in the last 3 years, where I didn't know where I'm going to live in a week ahead or a month ahead or where I'm going to go. And so, you know, these patterns being at home, so much of this inner sense of safety and core childhood woundings coming up and not knowing where you're going to go and my business kind of falling apart. And I feel this deep shift happening. But I don't yet know what it is. I have a sense, but I don't know. And that's what life truly is, isn't it? Like, most of the time we just don't know. And so we need to learn how to be with this mystery, how to hold the spaces in between. That truly determines the flow of life. The ease is not in things constantly falling apart, falling into place perfectly. The easeful life is knowing how to flow with these different waves that come and meet you and take you on a spin. And timing has been crucial in that. In my Jinkies profile, I have in my radiance sphere, which is what keeps us healthy, I have Jinki 52, which is about in the shadow frequency. No, actually in now I'm not sure. Now I'm blanking. Anyway, it carries a frequency of restraint and stillness. Stillness is, I believe, inner city. And I think gift is restraint. And the shadow is, I don't know, probably restlessness or something along those ways. But there was something that has met me as like a medicine in the times where, oh, I can be impatient, South Node in Aries. I am a fast mover, okay? Even the fact that, yeah, I'm constantly moving, like something in my Sagittarius moon, which is how I feel nurtured and safe, how I create a sense of emotional safety is through adventure. And so that has been a fucking, I would die if I didn't have that, probably. So that is bringing some kind of a balance. But I'm actually learning how to be with the stillness, because life is not, it is a constant movement, but not always in the physical. Sometimes certain things come to a full stop so that the shift can happen. And so often when it's not happening, we believe, oh my God, something's wrong. Why is this not flowing? I've been manifesting, I've been doing all of the things, I've been trying so hard. I'm such a good human being. But oh my God, life is punishing me. That little victim that comes out. Blessed be. But what if things not happening in that moment is actually things happening in the background, in the subtle, in the ways that we're not even able to see and perceive right now? And I'm gonna tell you, that's what is always the case. It's always the case. Like there is not any other way. The wave is coming. You want it or not, the universe keeps waving. You just don't know what exactly the wave is gonna be, but you keep attuning to the energy and you keep holding the vision and you open yourself up for the even greater vision to come through. And so for that, we sometimes need to stop to even see what is around us. What are the resources that are available to us? How fucking divinely we're constantly supported. If we're running like the freaking horse racing, of course you're not gonna see what's happening. Become bigger, become wider, wider than your fear, wider than the wound, opening up for love to flow through. And so this gift of restraint, the Jinki 52 says, you are a part of a much larger flow than you can see. You have to accept that there will be times when you will feel deeply restrained. And that is the time where we don't force and push. That's the time where we flow. We wait. We listen. We tune. We take care of ourselves. We be with the lesson that's in front of us. And right in that moment, my lesson was in my Saturn return in Pisces fourth house of family, roots, ancestry. I was getting my cards to look into to know what I'm gonna play with. It was a new layer of this healing. And sometimes this healing is not in going deeper, doing more, more, more. Sometimes it is in the stillness of letting it flow through and inspired through everything that has happened in this last year, where my guiding word activation of the year was service. I was brought all of the pieces where I haven't been serving the highest expression of love, all of the parts and patterns of me inside of me that haven't been serving me anymore. And so, what a gift to be shown what isn't working. But then, no, we go into the drama and we're like, oh my God, why is this happening to me? Well, that's another part that not that the part isn't serving, the part is serving because it's trying to keep you safe. The po coping mechanisms are not these evil forces that are keeping you sabotaged. Your perception of them is what's keeping you sabotaged. The coping survival mechanisms are here to keep you safe. And that's what it's at the root of all of it, trying to be safe. And so our invitation is to look at the ways in which we are numbing and not actually bringing ourselves to safety, creating a false sense of safety or chasing it somewhere in the external. And so the word activation for 2024 for me is vitality, which is also my jinki of purpose in its gift frequency, and vitality on all the levels and in the alignment of them. Its shadow is dissatisfaction, dissatisfaction with the life circumstances that we have right now. And okay, beautiful. Dissatisfaction is a piece of information. Something's out of alignment. And so we strive for higher integrity. And through this higher integrity, we're guided to the vitality, which is not in avoiding the lessons and trying to eliminate them, but in finding flow, ease, and love through them. I mean, when it comes to me being at home in this field of constant triggers and pain, that doesn't mean that I need to stay in the constant triggering environment. I come get my activations, I heal what I can there, and then I take myself out of it so that I can actually work through them in the environment that feels more supportive. The thing is that sometimes when we're so used to the constant drama and trauma and a lack of safety, that can become our comfort zone, and that can feel more safe than actually being in joy and happiness and thriving. And so this is where they say the self-sabotaging comes, where, you know, you go and reach for the more familiar, which might be like in a sense of, yeah, upheaval and crisis. That's been my case. I've been chasing crisis in my life because that's when my power comes alive, and that's where everyone's like, oh my god, I don't know how you're living this life. I recently helped a friend with some sessions that was in the situation of, I don't have savings, I don't have a home, I don't know where I'm sleeping tomorrow, I don't know how I'm gonna run my business. And I'm like, babe, I've been in this for the last few years, I know exactly what you're going through, I know exactly how deeply uprooting is. And she's like, I don't know how you do it. And I'm like, honestly, I don't know either, but I'm done with that. And sometimes just being like, oh, I want more stability, it's also not doing the trick. It's actually bringing that stability in the now and here. And sometimes it comes with the acceptance that in this chapter of our life, you got to learn a different flavor of stability, not the stability that looks like having a job and a consistent income, a house, a car, or whatever it is that you're looking for. Look at the cards that life is giving you right now and play with the cards. Don't try to throw them in the air and, I want better cards. It's like, then you just lose all of the cards and you lose your shit. And sometimes we need to lose our shit, actually, to be able to get so sick of these cycles that it's like, well, there's nothing left but to find more ease and love and pray. It's funny. I've been trying to, like, so much of my work is connected to creating more safety and turning the mess into consciousness, right? It's like releasing these loops of drama, inviting in the conscious drama club that allows you to lean into it. Because I realized that our egos love the drama. We don't just want the ease and the flow and the peace. For the ego, for the overstimulated mind and the modern society, that is too fucking boring. A lot of us, like a lot of people, don't want ease. It feels way too unfamiliar. And so this conscious drama club, when you invite the expression of this energy in and you let these characters, these coping mechanisms that are just trying to protect you, you let them out to play, you listen and connect, that is what creates the bridge. And so I was doing a lot of freaking conscious and not so conscious drama through the whole of October. This sense of, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know where I'm going. You know, I have all of the tools, and sometimes that loop sucks you in so deeply that it's not easy to get out of it. And sometimes the answers are right in front of your face, the universe sending the signs from left and right, up and down, and you're still covering your eyes, being like, I can see, I don't know, help me, help me. And so it was a process of me actually opening up my eyes and seeing how much freaking support was available to me. I was so supported throughout by my community, by my friends, by my best friend, by different healers, by my coach. It's been amazing. And when there is this deep hole of this deeply ingrained belief of unlovability and lack of worth still present, none of it really matters if you're not open to it. And so it's been a process of me letting it in more deeply. And when you think you've done the work, new layers got peeled off. But that's the point of life. An ongoing evolution. And of course it becomes easier, but not because the lessons get lesser. It's because you learn through the cycles. And so next time the cycle comes, don't resist it. Don't try to push it away. The more you lean into it and flow and hear what is actually being asked of you, what is going to open up the moment, what is love asking of you, the more easeful you're going to flow through. And then the next one comes, and woo-hoo-hoo, we can be like, oh my God, all of this fucking waving. But we all love the ocean, don't we? So I don't know where I'm going with this, but let's transition. I've been at home now for long enough. There was this opportunity that came to me in Sweden. I was invited to come and live with some people that I met at a community in the summer in this amazing castle villa house on the west coast of Sweden, just looking like heavenly, heavenly. It's like a 1.5 million euro villa with a jacuzzi by the ocean. It's like, what? And on paper, it sounded perfect. We were gonna do retreats there. Oh my God, amazing. That's exactly what I've been looking for. A place to go and to co-work with others and to create. That's my jam. But there was this sense in me that kept feeling like, but this is not gonna be easy. This something is off here. And I cannot pinpoint it. It's just an underlying intuitive energy. But what was present with that as well was this knowing that there is a lesson there for me to learn. And even though it's not the right thing, it's not the right, it's the right thing, and it's not exactly that which will feel super nourishing. It's gonna be challenging, and it's what I need to do. And so I chose to go there knowing that it feels like there is a not only a lesson but also a stepping stone. Like this is a path to something, to somewhere. And so I went. The North continued to call me, and it was so beautiful to be back in the North after a few winters in the tropics. I was craving winter, but not necessarily for the hibernation, because I feel like I've been in a deep, dark portal of that for quite a few months. But to actually build or find this new flavor of resilience, where Bali was super feminine, super flowy, super soft. And it softened me in amazing ways. I also lost a little bit of that masculine holding inside of me. And so I needed the Viking spirit in me to awaken, the sacred warrior that embraces this harshness of the winter months up in the north. And it's been such a powerful medicine to go cold plunge in the ocean and take cold walks in minus 14, 15, 18. Extremely healing. And also, my intuition was right. The living situation there was also very challenging. The South Node going through Libra right now brought up in me the patterns of people pleasing, which I don't often am so aware of. Like my Scorpio can have very strong boundaries. I think I have healthy boundaries with other people, maybe sometimes even a bit too harsh. I can be very direct and straightforward. But in staying at home, where I was shown where I'm tiptoeing around my mother, trying to please her to be okay, and abandoning myself in that, my truth, my power. This people pleasing came in this living situation too, where I wanted to keep my housemates happy and not triggered because it wasn't so easy to have certain conversations with them. Bless them, they're wonderful people, but sometimes you just don't energetically align with everyone, I guess. And there was definitely like a little bit of that, some beautiful lessons to learn. And here it is, I harvested it. But that was also a time of eclipse season. And this time around, in this last fall of 2023, the eclipse portal opened up in Libra. I have five planets in Libra, man. Like, This is washing me from all the directions, plus being in Saturn return. Oh my Lord, it's been a time, okay? It's been a time of deep transformation and learning how to dance with the mystery. And I mean, that's beautiful because one of my life purposes, my missions, not mission as in like I'm gonna do that, but like what comes so naturally is helping others dance in this mystery, embrace the unknown, hold the portal in between the worlds for others to harvest the power and the wisdom of the outwardly, the sacred and the divine. And so, you know, I gotta walk my talk. And sometimes there's criticism and judgment that comes in me not feeling like I'm walking well enough or fast enough or strong enough. But that's a part of the talk. It's how do we be with this inner critic? Most of my clients come with these patterns of being so hard on themselves and having such high expectations. And they come to me because I very much know this flavor. And I'm learning how to soften through it. That's what awakening is, a series of softening. That's what jhinkies teach us. And so we continue to soften also through these experiences. Besides the Libra eclipses, there was an eclipse in Taurus, and they're both signs ruled by Venus. So it's very much related to our finances and our relationships. And there was a big relationship teaching that greeted me in Sweden. I met this Cancer man, Cancer sun, Sagittarius rising, Leo moon. Oh my God. No comment on that, okay? But let's say a spiritual man that is into tantra, that is doing the work, that is very much also grounded in his connection to the earth, adventure, the practicality, very much a man I would be attracted to. Kind of like that Viking looking long hair. And oh my God, did I fall head over heels? It was insane. Like, I don't even know this guy. And his energy penetrated so deeply into me. It was obsessive. It was that Scorpio obsession level almost, where it's like borderline unhealthy. But okay, I mean, we're tasting this. And what this just tells me, and I felt it right away, is that this was a karmic connection. And I felt it right away. Oof, I know this man. This is like past life's continuation. There is some deep, deep teaching in this. Yes, might be trauma bond when there's like so much butterflies and such a hard and like deep activation. But also in that there is healing. Of course, another pattern of the unavailable man, which is something I've been working through. Also, having the Libra Venus in the 12th house, which is the house of isolation, right? Everything feels kind of like it's so close. Like I feel the intimacy of it, like with God, right? Like, oh, this divinity that fills me up, but then I'm back in my human form. And so I'm almost in this oneness, but then I'm also in the embodiment of the separation, right? It's what I'm playing out in my relationships as well. And I know a lot of you know this feeling. It's one of the core woundings of humanity, this sense of separation. And so we enacted in different ways, looking for that one day maybe something changes, and that desire to be chosen, that is in a way also stemming from the father wound when the father was absent and unavailable. And so we chase the masculine to choose us and prioritize us. Like, I have a lot of compassion for all of these parts of the feminine longing that just wants to be filled and there's never enough. And so, again, learning just like with the mystery and the unknown, how to hold that, how to be with that, maybe not even hold, but how to flow with that, how to be in the paradox of the longing that always wants more and also continuously being filled with more, and they're knowing that it's never going to be fully enough. And that's okay. That gets to inspire rather than discourage and hurt us as well. With anything, right? They say that about money, about clients, about the success. Like, there's never enough. That's the nature of desire that is the human condition. And what a beautiful blessing it is, because it allows the world to continue to turn in very freaky, creepy ways sometimes. But hey, we're here for the totality of it, and we are shifting the timelines. But yeah, this guy. It was interesting. It was like a short-lived experience, but extremely powerful. And one of the evenings, I was listening to his voice message, and I just started crying waterfalls. And it wasn't even about what he was saying. I don't even remember what the heck he was even saying. Even in that moment, I wasn't listening to the words. It was the vibration of his voice that activated something so ancient, so deep within my body. And in that moment, as I was crying, there was also this cosmic wave going through me. You know, it's like when you feel the energy shifting. I was being washed, something was transmuting as I was feeling the depths of that, and just let it rain and let it fall through. Something was being deeply transformed inside of me. And what that brought about with the Libra eclipse and Taurus eclipse in my seventh house of relationships and my 12th house of completion was a big karmic cycle completion when it comes to my relating. And it wasn't even about this guy. He was just a messenger. He was just an activator. So fucking grateful. It was the completion of the cycles that I was still feeling from my past relationships, the things that were still lingering, where I was still longing, when the hurt was still there. And after 2.5 years of processing some things from my last relationship, in that moment, that loop got completed. And the things that I was feeling beforehand, no longer valid, not valid, no longer present. In that intensity and in that flavor. So powerful what we can facilitate for one another without even knowing. Like, this guy probably has no idea. I mean, I kind of communicated, but like the unavailability didn't allow it to probably come through. I don't know. But yeah. So yeah, becoming bigger than the situation, you know, because this understanding, which is crucial, that is not about him. That, like, he came to assist me with something, and that was enough. And that was able, and then, like, even that obsession that blah, 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 I need sometimes got released. And even recently, now around the New Year's, me and a friend of mine that visited me, we did a candle magic ritual where you use two candles, like special standing candles for ritual purposes, and you tie up the thread in between them, and then you channel the intention into them. And as you light them up, the thread burns away, and the karmic patterning is burned with it, and then you allow the rest to kind of burn, and you sit with it and you stay with it. I've done this ritual a few times over the last few years, and it's always been powerful. But oh my, this one under the South Node in Libra that is cleansing our relationships, that is cleansing the relational patterns, and especially having Libra in the 12th house, it's so much of the ancient past life stuff that I really deeply feel. This was like the most bizarre candle magic I have ever seen anywhere. And I might talk about it at some point on my Instagram. I don't feel like going into it here, but perhaps this is an invitation for you if you feel like cleansing some of that. My intention was really in like my feminine and masculine lineage, the mother father wounding, as well as how this is showing up in my connection to abundance, because love, money are connected to our sense of worth. So they're really interconnected. When you're struggling in one area, very likely you're struggling in sim with similar patterns in the other. And so, oh my God. I think that was one of the big lessons that I came to Sweden for. And I was there for a bit over a month. No, I think exactly a month. And in that meantime, I was invited to do a tea ceremony at this retreat in Norway. And so we went to Norway, where it was such a delicious weekend, very confronting again that continue to ask me to stand in my raw authenticity with all of these people-pleasing patterns and codependency popping all around me. It's really a refinement happening there for the collective, for all of us in some ways. But there I met this angel of a woman that I believe like literally God sent into my life. And as they were like, "Oh, how do you live? Oh, wow, you live in such a mysterious, mystical, nomadic life." Everyone's so impressed, but I'm like, "No, guys, it's my trauma. I want stability. I don't know where I'm gonna go." The same freaking cycle, you see, it's carrying me. But when I offered that pattern to the universe and be like, "Okay, God, I don't know. Can you show me the way? Can you bring the way to me?" This woman came to me and was like, "I just want to let you know that I have an apartment in Trondheim that is empty, and available if you wanted to come and house it before the new owners came, because she sold it and I would be able to stay here for free." I was like, "Oh me Lord, what?" And I had friends here in Trondheim. In the summertime, I shared my room with a Trondheim guy, my other housemate in the same little housey was like I was staying with two Trondheim guys. Norway has always been in my heart, but it kind of felt far away, like it's so expensive that it didn't feel accessible to me. And now I'm being offered in the north where I want to be, an apartment for free. And I tune into this energy and it feels so good. And then I rush to tell my ex-lover, who lives in Trondheim, that I might come to Trondheim. And to my surprise, very unexpectedly, he's like, "I don't want you to come." What? Okay, sure. New informations dropped in that I wasn't aware of, that he wasn't communicating anytime before that. But then there was like a day where I was like, "Oh fuck, now I can't go to Trondheim. I thought I knew where I was going, that finally the road opened up, but now this guy's saying he doesn't want me, and so I need to respect that." This is where my Libra people pleasing comes. You know, sometimes I'm too fast to respect another person's boundaries, that, "Oh my God, I don't want to cross your boundaries because I know how important it is," that then I cross my own. There is no room for negotiation. There's no room for a meeting in between that honors both of people's boundaries. And so the next day I was like, "But I keep feeling Trondheim. Like Trondheim feels so right." And I had another option to go to Gothenburg in Sweden. But I knew that Trondheim will potentially hold a heartbreak, a heartache, and it has. It's been a lot of grieving here. But nonetheless, it felt like that's where I'm guided to go. And so I said yes to the woman. "I'm gonna come to Trondheim," without knowing where the apartment is, knowing how it looks. I knew nothing about it. I just knew that when I tune into this energy of the path that is being offered to me as a manifesting generator to respond with my emotional authority that invites me to feel into it and go for what feels right, when I tuned into this energy, I had a heart expansion. Even though there was a heartache in it too, it was cracking me open. And so on Friday, I decided on Saturday, I booked a ticket, and on Monday morning, I needed to move out. So it was again that cycle of not knowing where I'm going to be the next week, and I need to move out in 3 days. Nervous system down. Yeah, that hasn't been a fun game to play, to be honest. And I came to Norway. And I came to Trondheim, and I've never, I don't remember the last time a city felt so good, that I feel so held and supported, and so many beautiful people greeted me and offered their support. And this angel of a woman, Tina, she's been really like a gift from God. And she picks me up at the airport, which is another like, what? Life really testing me of how much I can receive. And she drives me to the apartment. I still don't know where it is. And we come here and it's quite central. And I'm like, wow, this is beautiful location. And we walk up and I'm really expecting, like, I'm not expecting anything. I'm like, it's just a roof over my head. And we come here. And it's this amazing, hella spacious, luxurious apartment with big windows, which is what I've been, like, this apartment is so much of what I've been envisioning, of what I've been manifesting. And not only that, I get to stay in this amazing place for free, feeling so taken care of by life, by this angel woman. It's also a space where I get to hold my workshops and my tea ceremonies. It's perfect. Oh, wow. In a city that feels so good, with an ex-lover that I still love and deeply care for, not wanting to see me. The irony, hey? Holding the full spectrum. And I mean, this is what it means to trust in the mystery, to follow your guidance, the inner authority, and to respond based on that. Things become even better than you could have imagined. This is when you release control and surrender to the flow and where it's guiding you. It's not always easy, and I don't recommend this path to everyone. To the extremes that I've been initiated into, but it is a skill that we all would benefit from. It happened that this apartment is not just so hella freaking cool, but in the basement, it also has a pool, a gym, and a sauna. How the freaking heck? How the freaking heck? I can't even, like, what? I can't even. And I realized this morning that me living in Norway is a dream that I had forgotten about coming true. I always felt so connected to Norway, but I always felt like it's out of reach. And yet again, life showed me that anything is possible. You know, with all of the mystical experiences that I facilitate and also experience, it's like sometimes people ask me, yeah, but is it real or is it just my imagination? And my answer is, it's both. Your imagination is creating the reality. If this reality is an illusion that we are imagining, then that's what it is. Your imagination is your most precious tool that is creating this reality. And so dream and envision and be with patience, and then release it from the attachment. Let it go. Offer it to God. to work its way in mysterious manners, in magical ways that you cannot even imagine. That's what I've been experiencing in the last few months, under the guidance and on the wings of Isis, connecting with this expansive, abundant energy of the overflowing feminine overflow. Where, yeah, some parts of the reality are still catching up. I'm still grieving. I'm still having moments of victimhood, but there's so much more flow and ease in those cycles. There's so much more trust in the connection with the spirit, in my lovership with the mystery and the unknown. For this year, 2024, with everything that's happening in the world, it is even more important, like more important than ever before, and it's always been important, to be in your own energy, to be in tune with your own authority. And of course, like trusting your body can sometimes feel tricky when we're holding so much trauma in the body, but even distinguishing what is that truthful response? What is a trauma response? What, like, that's the crucial, learning the language of the body and learning the language of the soul. So that's what I wish for all of you, so that you can act with your inner authority from a heart-centered place, knowing that life is truly here to give to us. It is limitless. We just gotta open our eyes to see it. And that's what we've been experiencing globally. The illusions falling away, awakening that feels very painful at times in your personal experiences as well as in the collective. Saturn in Pisces is your spiritual discipline. It's in your authority with the spirit. It's that is what is building the long-term vision and legacy of the new age that we are birthing. 2003 was one hell of a year that broke me in so many ways, that it truly broke me open to new levels of love, forgiveness, humility, and expansion. And so in this new year, there are visions that I have, but it's mostly the energies that I want to travel with rather than longing for something external. And so this is my invitation to allow your dreams to manifest in ways that are gonna blow your whole being out and open in easeful ways. And I'm here to support you through that in my mentorship with my one-on-one sessions. It is time, it is time, it is time, and so it is. Thank you for being here. I deeply honor you. And I wish you a wonderful year ahead. Much love.